Give her carfare, a zombie takeout at Easter, but for God's sake, don't hang around with her. Welcome to episode 241 of Zombie Takeout, the B-Movie and Cult Movie Podcast. I'm Uncle John.
And I'm Scotto.
And before we get to this week's movie, we've got a little bit of listener submitted. This is from Matt Goranson on Facebook in reference to last week's episode, Cabin in the Woods. He said, I really need to rewatch this movie. I can't believe you didn't bring up prequel possibilities, since the sacrifices have been going on essentially forever. I would watch the hell out of a Cabin in the Woods set in the 80s. Now, you responded to this saying basically any horror movie could be a prequel.
Yes.
Any slasher movie, essentially.
I mean, just take the worst one you could possibly think of from any era, and then just CGI in, you know, technicians working
right
in the background or whatever, you know, causing some action to happen in the main movie.
It would kind of be like the 80s episodes of Fringe.
Where it was
the same idea, the same show, they just 80s'd it up.
Well, yeah, there's that too.
But it would be the same movie, just with that treatment.
I was thinking more, and I did love those 80s episodes of Fringe, but I was thinking more Back to the Future too, where they just took the original movie
right. And
then worked Marty McFly coming back and working, an extra Marty McFly working his magic.
But to do the
things right.
Cabin in the Woods set in the 80s, all you have to do is take Cabin in the Woods, dress everybody 80s style, change the soundtrack, and there's Cabin in the Woods set in the 80s. It's the same movie.
Well, of course, the problem with the prequel of this is you know they'll be successful.
Yeah, true.
Because the gods don't, you know, become unleashed.
Right, until the actual Cabin in the Woods. So yeah, you know they're all going to die.
But as a comedy,
the Virgin. Yes.
You know, kind of a What's Up Tiger Lily sort of thing, which is a movie we should do, of course, sometime in the future.
Yes.
You know, to take just some other movie and to butcher it up like Cabin in the Woods style would be fucking hilarious.
True, true. That would be amazing.
Especially if it was like a well-known piece that was, something
like,
terrible.
Yep. One of the Friday the 13th movies.
Yeah, any Friday the 13th movie. Like, when somebody, you know, stumbles and gets killed, have it that they stumbled because it was some lab worker.
Yeah.
Like, oops. Well, of course, they'd be intentionally fucking them over because they want to get them all killed, too.
You would really just need to shoot lots of kind of B-roll with Richard Jenkins and Bradley Whitford.
Hmm.
You know.
Well, right.
De-aged to look, you know, 30 years younger. And then just intersperse that into the Friday the 13th.
You get some younger actors to play them.
Oh, yeah, you could do that too. Yeah. I think it would be funnier if you de-aged them.
Sideburns and, you know, a fro or something, you know.
Well, that I think would be funnier if you put a piece on Richard Jenkins. You
true.
Know?
True, that would be. But, you know, it turns out that Jason had help.
yeah.
That nobody knew.
He was just one of the monsters in the containment.
Well, right. And I bet they had somebody in there like
probably,
in the montage.
Yeah.
Or the montage, the menagerie, I guess you'd call it.
Mm-hmm. Now, the prequel I'd be interested in is, well, how did it start?
Oh, so like real, like,
go back to when the deal was struck with the ancient gods.
Doctor Who crossover? I don't know.
Well, yeah, I guess you'd have to be kind of Doctor Who-ish about it. That's the story I'd like to know. You know, anything after that is just the same story, except they were successful.
So something, say, like 17th century?
Okay, I was thinking it would go back further than that, but yeah, okay.
Well, no, because, you know, when we talk about Dungeons and Dragons, we're always talking about the Middle Ages and the possibility of magic existing in the Middle Ages and wizards.
Right.
And you would say the reason they don't anymore is because we made a deal with the giant
sea or
earth creature.
Interesting. It'd have to be better than the Dungeons & Dragons movie we have.
Well, yeah.
And also, Danny Meeks on Google Plus commented on the trailer for this week's movie. He said, yay, one of my recs, looking forward to it. It turns out Danny Meeks was the Danny who requested Polyester.
Thank you, sir.
He also made us a little offer. He said, if you guys ever need a link to watch a movie, let me know. I have so many. I responded on this on Google Plus, thinking he was just referring to a link to Polyester, which we'd already had covered. But it sounds like he's talking about, a number of others. So thank you for the offer. There's one on our list that might give us some difficulty. We'll be in touch.
I think there's a lot on our list that we wouldn't be able to find.
There's one definite one
I mean,
that
come on.
Roberto Suarez suggested a while back.
Nude nuns with guns.
That's on Netflix, or at least it was for a while.
Really?
Yeah, that's where I found it. That's why
Oh,
it's on the
shit.
list. I've seen bits and pieces of it.
No fucking way.
Oh, yeah, I don't know if it's on there now, but it was for a while.
I'm trying to think of what else we'd have on here. Saturday the 14th.
That shouldn't be hard to find. It would be a travesty if that's hard to find. Then again, I was totally not expecting Buffy to be as hard to find as it was.
Yeah. Strippers versus werewolves?
Netflix.
Wow. That's impressive.
Oh, there's a t whole bunch of like zombie and werewolf weird movies on there, like zombies versus cockneys and strippers versus zombies and that sort of thing. Zombies versus cockneys is an actual movie.
Yes, I just noticed that on our list.
Yeah, I threw a bunch on there because why not? Anyway, on to this week's movie, which is from 1981, Polyester, requested by Danny Meeks. Of course, that brings us to the impromptu plot summary, sponsored by Odorama. Aren't you glad that it didn't catch on?
And also brought to you by Alcoholics Anonymous?
It's supposed to be.
I think so. I don't know. Well, so we have this housewife who's, I don't know, what can you say about her? She's just, everything's just gone wrong for her. Her husband's an asshole. Her son is a psycho.
Pinnacle sniffer.
And, well, yeah, just pretty much getting his hands on any narcotic that he can. And a foot stomper. And I guess I spoiled something.
Little bit there, yeah. Well, we see it early.
If you can't see that he's the foot stomper from the outset, I can't help you there. But anyway, and of course, the daughter is just hanging out with a bunch of assholes and dancing way too much. But then
For
again,
money.
this is a John Waters movie, so dancing is going to be expected. Things just keep getting worse. Her husband is having an affair, and it's still everyone's dressed like it's the 1970s and it's Baltimore. What more?
Surprising number of leisure suits for the early 80s.
Yeah, you get the feeling this was filmed more in 80 than 81. I mean, this was out in 81, but you get the feeling
Most
this was.
likely it was filmed in 79, 80, if it was
Yeah.
released in 81.
I can't really explain more than things just keep getting awful for her. But yes, they find out her son is the stomper. Her daughter gets knocked up. The husband leaves her. So she becomes an alcoholic, and
Then she meets Tab Hunter.
she meets Tab Hunter, yes, the man of her dreams. And he's going to whisk her away from all of this, and he claims to own a theater, but something's just not quite right. I won't give that away, I guess,
Right,
the
right.
Tab Hunter twist.
Yeah. Suffice it to say, her life gets back on track, and then the rug gets pulled out from under her again.
Yeah, that is the best way of putting it out. And it gets even weirder, I guess you could say. The resolution. The
Yeah.
resolution leaves you going, huh?
Into John Waters' film.
It is. It is a John Waters film. Hilarity. I guess I can tap out and say hilarity ensues at this point. You pretty much
Yes.
get the gist.
Now, the movie opens up with a Dr. Quackenshaw
Yes.
explaining the primary gimmick of the film, which was called Odorama. Audience members were given these scratch, I've been having trouble with this phrase all day, scratch and sniff cards with 1 through 10 on them And at different points in the movie, a number will flash and you scratch that number and take a sniff so you can experience the smell of the film. The 10 smells were roses, flatulence, model airplane glue, pizza, gasoline, skunk, natural gas, new car smell, dirty shoes, and air freshener.
Why was he so obsessed with odor and scent and smell
Well, it's a
in
big
this?
part of the movie. Francine, Devine's
Well,
character, the housewife, has an extremely sensitive se sense of smell, and it kind of leads her through the film.
right, but what was that? Why?
Who knows why John Waters does anything other than John Waters?
I couldn't quite figure out what the angle was of that. I mean, they try doing like smell-o-vision and stuff
Yeah.
like that, the 50s, matinee thing.
I think he just wanted to force people to smell skunk and flatulence, possibly gasoline.
And then
Issues.
I mean the whole I think scratch and sniff sticker craze did not hit until
A little after that, yeah.
a little after this, actually. So now I wonder, did John Waters have a hand in that?
He may have been an influence, certainly.
Right.
Incidentally, I think he was also a big influence on Troma. Because they were doing stuff, before John Waters was, or maybe around the same time. They started in 74. But they did a lot of, sex comedies before this. They really didn't get into their classic, schlock gore thing until Toxic.
Right, and this is just that without the gore.
Right. This is very, very Troma in a sense.
It is.
But it predates, Troma developing this style. So I think Waters was a big influence. Also, just back to Dr. Quackenshaw at the beginning. First off, I'd love to see a remake with Alan Tudyk playing Dr. Quackenshaw, because they look so much alike, and he would be amazing in the role. Wash from Firefly, for those who don't know his real name.
Right. I was trying to place that actor now that I think about it.
Also, that whole bit was very Zucker Abrams,
Oh,
a little
definitely.
bit before Zucker Abrams.
Around the same
Around the
time.
same, yeah, around this, actually, no,
Kentucky
yeah,
Fried
Kentucky Fried was
Movie was.
79, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, so it was a little after. So they were, so Waters is probably influenced by Zucker Abrams for
But
that
I'll tell
bit.
you one person that I'm thinking, I should have looked this up, but I'm thinking Charles Bush had to
Ooh,
have been
yeah, definitely.
hugely influenced
And
by
Divine, yeah.
this. I mean, this seems like.
Divine's whole shtick is basically Charles Bush's whole shtick.
Now I have to like look to see who came first.
That is a good question. Incidentally, speaking of Divine, this movie gave me a new appreciation for Divine's work because nobody can chew scenery like Divine.
Yeah.
And I'm actually not sure of the pronoun to use, so I'll just say Divine. Just so much fun to watch.
Right, that's all I could think about though was, just how much Charles Bush took from her
Good
here.
point, yeah.
It was amazing to watch that.
Now, Francine's husband runs an X-rated movie theater, and
Yes, I left that detail out of the plot,
yeah,
so okay.
the movie opens up with a bit of a protest on their front lawns, on their front lawn, about the movie that he's currently running, which has the best title I've ever heard for a porn. I hope there's a real one out there with this title. The Burning Bush.
I'm sure there is.
There has to be. Now on to Dexter, their son, the Stomper. He really let his victims get a pretty good look at him.
Yes, he did.
So
He
I'm
was
wondering why there wasn't a
not.
sketch earlier. Because,
He.
midway through the movie, we see him attack someone, and there ends up being a police sketch.
He was not very good at his calling.
No, he's good at the stomping, just not good at the running away afterwards so he doesn't get caught.
Well, yeah, I think that's what I liked about it. He would stomp on the foot, and then he wouldn't just run away. He would stand there and giggle like
Gloat,
an idiot.
yeah. Which leads to a sketch halfway through the movie, and ultimately it leads to his capture by these two guys in a supermarket. I love that scene. Because, he stomps and the woman's, writhing on the floor and he's sitting there laughing like an idiot, and these two guys just grab him and push him into some produce. And one of them yells, call the police. Now, this was the first John Waters film to skirt the mainstream, even garnering an R rating, whereas the previous films had all been unrated or X.
Well, yeah.
It's speculated that it's because it was set in, middle class suburbia as opposed to his early films that were set in slums or in bohemian neighborhoods.
Well, from what I understand about the earlier movies and why we haven't
Well, that's just
gone there
based on
yet.
lingo. Yeah, there's one scene that we're avoiding.
Yeah. That same subject matter did not exist
In
in
this one. This
this.
one was a bit toned down from what I understand. Because this is the earliest John Waters film that I've seen. I've seen a number of
Yeah.
them later. This
Yeah,
also
same.
seemed to start his really commercial period, because Hairspray was his next film.
Really?
It was actually the last one he did with Divine, Hairspray.
I thought Hairspray was like 86.
From what I was reading, that was his next film,
No
and
kidding.
that was the beginning of that period of Serial Mom Pecker, that really commercial period.
Oh, you're right. It was 7 years between movies.
Okay, so we're both right about that.
Yeah, I hadn't thought of that. There was nothing between them. I mean, he did other things between, like, I mean, he came in as an actor. I think he wrote. No, there's nothing. He has like one appearance in Something Wild as an actor.
Okay.
He has nothing, no writing credits between the two, no directing credits.
He just took some time off, I guess.
I guess so. What the fuck?
I sound like I'm, putting the movie down. I actually really enjoyed it, and there were a few scenes that really stuck out for me. The hangover scene. After Francine's life falls apart, she, crawls in a bottle. And she wakes up the next morning hungover, and everything is tinted green and kind of shifting, and it's got this great music. That sounds kind of like a circus.
He does this strange thing with the light in that whole apartment on several occasions in the movie. We were just kind of like, is there something happening? It felt like I should have been on something while watching this.
Most of the cast probably was.
Well, right. I think I would have gotten more out of it had I been on something, though.
Also loved the shootout in the living room.
Oh, yeah.
Bobo, the daughter's boyfriend, the bad boy she's hooked up with,
Who gets his
attempt.
ass kicked by? Well, that was one of my favorite scenes.
They break into the house. They find her grandmother there, and they try to, I think they were just trying to rob the place.
Yeah.
Bobo pulls out a gun. The grandmother pulls out a gun. She wins.
Well,
She
right. He
takes a bullet, but she wins.
tried the, he comes off as a badass in the beginning, but he never wins a
No.
fight in this whole fucking movie. Like he fucks with the I guess the gospel singer
Who
and
then tracks him down and kicks his ass?
who
She commandeers a
commandeers a
bus.
bus, chases him down and kicks his ass and totals his car with her bare hands. But I'd have to say my absolute favorite scene in the whole film and really the only part where I really laughed out loud hard would be the abortion scene.
At the clinic?
Yes, that whole segment where the daughter's going for the abortion and just that he went there and did it went there well too.
In 81, well before that was a big thing.
Oh right. Oh, it was a shocking thing back then, I imagine.
But well before there were, news stories about all of that and the bombings and such.
Right, so that's the point. It was something that wasn't really talked about much. I mean, Roe versus Wade's like what, 8 years old at this point? So it was enough for Roe versus Wade to be out of the news, pretty much, because it was a done deal
It'd been
law,
forgotten about.
and yet before, I guess, the conservative backlash really took in.
But that didn't really come in until 83, 84.
Something like that, yeah.
Now, related to that, one of my favorite parts was the unwed mother's home.
All right.
Shortly after the abortion, the attempted abortion scene, Francine sends her to an unwed mother's home. She makes one call. 5 seconds later, these two nuns show up in a car, rush in, pull her out, and then send her to this home that looked like something, kind of looked like the children's home in Silent Night, Deadly Night.
I guess you could say, yeah.
And they take them on this hayride in the rain.
Right.
It was just brilliant. Although I do have really only my only complaint about the movie, Francine and Todd, Tab Hunter's character, their meeting was a bit forced.
Oh, yeah.
As they cross paths a few times earlier in the movie, she sees him and just kind of drools over him, and he smiles, and then she's out driving with her friend Cuddles, who was another complaint, I should say. Her performance, really the only acting I have a problem with in the movie.
I don't know if she was acting,
No,
John.
that's the problem. Because there wasn't really great acting, but even the bad acting was fun to watch in most cases.
I think that's how she
Yeah,
is.
she was the one exception to the bad acting being fun to watch.
I think he just let her roll.
Yeah. Anyway, they're out driving to kind of, cheer Francine up, and she sees Todd at this, I forget what it was. Something on the roadside. Oh, it was an accident. That's right. There was a
Yes.
car accident. She sees him standing there. She just gets out of the car, or he beckons her over. And it was the strangest scene because he's like showing her this accident.
That kind of sums up the entire movie, really, though. I mean, you have to like, why did he do that? I mean, you really spend the entire movie trying to figure out what the fuck was John Waters doing.
He's showing her this accident. I'm thinking he's a cop or some kind of reporter or something.
Right.
Turns out he runs an upscale drive-in movie theater. I loved this idea. It's a drive-in movie theater that serves oysters and caviar and champagne.
And it was really just to demonstrate that he was just so much better than her ex-husband.
Yeah. And then the ending happens. This is where we get the body count of the film, because up until
Right.
this, Bobo is killed. Like three or four people were killed in the last 5 minutes of the film, last 10 minutes of the film.
I was gonna say, was it really five? I thought it was even faster than that, honestly.
Probably, yeah.
It just goes really quickly. Shit gets real.
The husband's secretary, who he was having an affair with, gets garroted by the daughter with macrame, because that was her rehabilitation method. After the unwed mother's home, was to make macrame. It kind of saved her, and so she's got all this macrame around, and she strangles the secretary with it. The husband gets shot.
Because macrame was pretty big back then at that time.
The grandmother gets hit by, well, first off, Tab Hunter gets hit and run over and killed. The grandmother gets hit by a car, but she survives. It was just this really impressive bit of carnage.
And yeah, the shootings, I mean, it was.
Oh, I forgot something earlier on. In we were talking about the living room shootout.
Yeah.
Shortly after that, when the daughter comes back and sees Bobo dead, she attempts to kill herself by sticking her head in the oven. She's found by Francine. But the part that got me, the cat had hung itself with a note saying,
Yes.
"Goodbye, cruel world."
Cat
Or the
hugs
dog. I think it actually was a dog. Had hung itself. I mean, not something to laugh at, but not when it's a
Of
person.
course.
But the fact that a dog was hung, I mean, I,
Dog hung himself.
yeah.
This is a suicide. This isn't cruelty.
Yeah. That just.
The dog took his own.
Yeah.
But yeah, the mother was shot. The daughter was had her head in the oven, and the fucking dog hugged himself. So right, what the fuck did we see? I mean, as we're into it, I'm like, what have we gotten ourselves into
I've realized with John Waters films, you just have to roll with it.
True. Well, I think the thing is, he just gets so, I don't know. I don't want to say nasty. I would rather say cruel, you know? He takes this person and just, why would the crowd, the protesters of the theater, have more venom for her than for the husband himself?
There is an irrational amount of things piled on
Exactly.
Francine.
Exactly.
Literally everything goes wrong for her, like
Yeah.
to an unrealistic level.
Oh, definitely.
If you're trying to maintain some level of believability, it's a problem, but
But he's not. No,
it's a John Waters film. You just kind of let that go.
he even has the soap opera organ hitting like some cues where they
Mm-hmm.
pause, look at the screen, kind of. I'm going to have an abortion. The organ. So they're looking at the screen.
John Waters' whole thing is to play on tropes and kitsch and all of the cliches, which he does beautifully in this.
Oh, definitely. I
It was
mean,
a parody of something called a Woman in Trouble movie, which was an exploitation genre in the 50s, which was the bored housewife whose life goes to shit, basically.
he's taking, the search for what is normal. I
That's been
mean,
his entire career.
that's really what the movie is all about, is, they're supposed to be this perfect nuclear family. In fact, if you look at the kids, and then you look at That 70s Show, the two kids look a lot like the two kids from That 70s Show in a way, especially the daughter.
Yeah, definitely. But that's been Waters' whole shtick his entire career, is basically taking the piss out of normality.
Right. So this perfect nuclear family, and it's just all to hell, really. I mean, except for her, but even she gets dragged down with it.
Right. Just kind of by association because she's connected to it. Not really through any fault of her own.
It's even weird to see that old, husband and wife kind of relationship. Can you fix me, fix me my dinner kind of thing.
Well, because it's playing on a trope from the 50s, even though it was set in the early 80s. Oh, incidentally, one last bit of trivia. According to Time Out, Divine's Francine Fishpaw, love that name, was virtually indistinguishable from Elizabeth Taylor of The Mirror Cracked from 1980. I think there's quite a difference there. I'm just gonna say.
Limb. The one thing, though, of course, we have to mention is the costuming. I think we started talking a little bit about leisure suits and whatnot.
Yeah, I just commented on the sheer number of them.
It's tough to determine, considering the director and the time period, if the outfits are a joke or if they'd be seriously worn in 1980, 81.
This was before Waters really became commercial. I won't say sold out, because I enjoy those that string of movies. But I'm thinking he was still working with a very small budget at this point.
True. Well,
And so I suspect a lot of it came from thrift stores, so it was a
you're
little dated.
right. And he probably was going for the outlandish.
Yeah, of course, he always does.
So you're saying it's just the director and not the time period.
No, I think it was the lack of budget. He was dealing with stuff that was a little dated. It was maybe 5 years old.
Yeah, but you could always have them wear their own clothes if you really didn't have a budget.
That's true. He probably was playing into the 70s kitsch then. Because it was 80, which means that stuff was kind of at the height of being looked down on.
And I would say, of course, the husband's outfits, some of those suits were just like, wow.
All right, on to sequels and remakes.
On sequels and remakes.
I would love to see a remake of this. As I mentioned, I would love to see Alan Tudyk as Dr. Quackenshaw. But I mean a full-on remake. I don't know who you replace Divine with, though.
I don't know. I mean, I don't think it can be done, honestly, because a lot of this would, I mean, I guess you have to update the material.
You update the material. Instead of running an X-rated movie theater, he runs a porn site.
Well, I'm just thinking of the jokes, and I don't know how much that would hold up now. Like, a lot of this, I'm sure, was like quite shocking for
Oh yeah,
81.
true. You'd have to update a lot of the references and you'd have to make it just as shocking. And Waters has retired, so he's not going to do it. Who do you give it to then? I guess whoever did the interview, because that's kind of that shtick. There's the Seth Rogen style. Actually, Seth Rogen as a husband would work. He fits it. I'm not sure who, again, Divine is a trace tricky. Unless I guess if you don't get someone who is a drag performer normally, because I can't think of anybody, you do what they did with the Broadway version of Hairspray. You get
I was
a
gonna
well-known
say,
name and put
didn't
them in.
Travolta just replace her?
Travolta was cast as Divine in Divine's role in the Broadway version,
Yeah.
so you get someone. I'm overlooking the obvious, and it would be hilarious. Again, Seth Rogen as the husband, James Franco in drag in the Divine role. I would love to see that, because I think he would be very funny in that role, because he can chew scenery when he wants to.
Of course.
The kids don't need to be, anybody in particular. They can be kind of random, unless you do want to get the two from that 70s show. Topher Grace is a little old, but
Yeah, he is now.
yeah, he's starting to look it too. I don't think he can pull it off.
Yeah.
But you could get two kid actors to easily play those roles. I'd just love to see a movie take the chances that this thing did today. Update all the material and be just as transgressive. Of course, that's probably not going to happen.
I wasn't aware that Tab Hunter was actually an actual, well-traveled actor.
Oh yeah, he was a teen idol in the 50s,
Yeah.
and also a singer.
Huh.
He actually sang the theme song for the movie.
Oh, that's right. Debbie Harry wrote
She
the
wrote the lyrics,
lyrics.
yeah. Tab Hunter sang it. I think this was kind of a big step for him because he's gay, and I don't know if he was out at the time.
Oh, really?
So this may have been kind of his first step out of the closet,
Huh.
just to do a movie like this. Given he was this heartthrob in the 50s.
Well, I mean, the dude had, at that point, had a 20-year career.
Yeah, he could do whatever he wanted, but
Right. And he was doing Broadway, so I mean,
why would you slum with John Waters unless you were trying to say something?
true, true. Or maybe, let's see, what was he doing before this? He had some, just some TV appearances,
Oh,
pretty
okay,
much.
maybe he was at a low point then.
He was just doing like one-off things. Yeah, in fact, if you look at his IMDb, there isn't like a movie, except for maybe The Kid from Left Field. But yeah, I mean, so it was just the type of stuff he was doing.
And that wasn't exactly, from what I recall, not
Yeah.
really high quality work. So maybe it was just a job.
Yeah.
All right, Underbrains.
On the brains.
I really liked it overall. Took some issue with Cuddle's performance. She was really hard to watch.
Yeah.
And that meeting scene between Todd and Francine was a little weird and cringeworthy, but overall really liked it. I'm going for.
Close. I don't know how much this worked on a comedy level. It could just be because of I'm watching it from 2015 and it's kind of like so.
Yeah. It doesn't hit you as being as transgressive as it is
But as
because it's
satire,
many years later.
it does work well. I'm going three. There's a lot of stuff that I'm still not quite sure why he did what he
Oh,
did.
yeah, I tend not to analyze his movies too much.
Maybe someday I'll figure it out, though.
All right, what have we learned?
Everyone is just such a dick.
And I learned that there's nothing you can't do with macrame.
I think that was the other thing, just the whole downward spiral of the whole beginning was just like, wow, okay, we get it.
Well, see, I kind of like seeing it all piled on so egregiously and so heavily.
Well, true, true. But you're kind of hoping for like a big payoff in the end, and instead you get this very weird ending.
That was the best part, because there's all of
That's
these
true.
deaths.
You didn't see it coming.
There's all of this carnage at the end, and then the last shot before the credits is just, Francine and her kids walking back into the house smiling, because they're still together and they're happy, because the two kids have, reformed themselves. And meanwhile, five, six people have just died.
I wonder how if one could buy some of his foot paintings.
Wouldn't surprise me if they were out there somewhere. Or at least reproductions.
Yeah.
Some fan has to have reproduced them. All right, so until next time, when we'll be reviewing Ghoulies, requested by Jen Miller, continuing our quadrilogy of requests. Until then, go to zombietakeout.com, check out the album art, the episode description, of course, the episode itself, which you're already listening to. Links to find us on Facebook, Twitter, Google+, and YouTube. Links to subscribe via RSS and iTunes. Please leave us a rating and review on iTunes. We'd really appreciate it. You'll also find the movie list, every movie we reviewed so far, and every movie we're going to review, up through Time of Eve, which I just added after Legend. You also find the request form. If you've got a movie you'd like to hear us review, like Matt Gornison, please leave it on the request form. We'll get to it eventually. And, of course, the recommendations list. I actually thought this was a shoo-in, but you didn't quite get there.
It was close, but I don't know about recommending it.
You can also email us, zombietakeout@gmail.com, or leave us a voicemail at 414-368-ZT01, or for the alphanumerically challenged, 414-368-9861. Nothing about getting their feet stomped?
No.
Of course, always remember that you will always be going from the middle of Milwaukee. And until next time, always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life, there you are.
There you are.
Yellow journalism, that's what it is.
Francine and Todd, Tab Hunter's character, their meeting was a bit forced.